This is Sammy Town from Fang, and you're listening to Radio Like You Want.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want!
With your host,
Mike Routier,
and Flag the Ripper.
Good grief, good God almighty, what the, oh my God, we're doing the morning show thing again.
Flag,
please.
Come on, we got to make this happen. Syndication beckons, man. Just because we do this show in the middle of the night while we're high doesn't mean that we can't be morning DJs par excellence, bringing people the commercial material like this week's show.
Nothing gets more commercial than Sammy Town of Fang. Let me tell you what, he is made for the masses.
Especially here in the Bay Area, a much beloved and reviled rock and roll figure, Sammy Town from the band Fang. Now he's jamming with some cats from around here, legendary cats. They call themselves the Churchills.
Yeah.
He's got the Disciples. He's got this band and that band. Don't pigeonhole him, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
He's diverse. I mean, you would know. You guys are friends from way back. Didn't you play a show with him right when he got out of the joint?
As soon as Sammy got out of jail, I didn't really know him actually before that. I knew of him by legend. But what happened was he got out and, you know, nobody around here would play a show with the guy. And I figured, shit, you know, he's done his time, you know.
Now were people out there with pitchforks and signs?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. And, you know, it's probably understandable. I kind of glided in after all that and avoided the tricky moral dilemma side of it, Mike.
Hey, I figured, you know what I say? He did the crime, he did the time, and he's out.
Yeah. So
That's what society said we had him play
the show, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. And so, you know, I've been...
Was it extra riotous?
It was pretty damn riotous. I've seen Sammy here and there, but... You know, we've got so much more than that this week, Mike. Not just an interview with Sammy Town, but a lot of our usual features. We got the Estrogen OD.
Globetrotter. We got world premieres going up the wazoo. But let's kick this thing off riotous-like with DRI.
I know it's been like a disease with you since you were a kid, but you're a grown-up man now. Act like it. Don't eat your heart out with hate and revenge.
Bye.
Globetrotter, spanning the nine continents of the globe to bring you the finest in punk rock and garbage music.
It's the United Nations of Noise, the International Brotherhood of Rock and Roll, a kumbaya of chaos and carnage.
So join us now, live from points unknown, as we bring you Globetrotter.
Mike, where are we going this week?
To the paradise known as Brazil, like Dreamland Brazil. Love. We're going to visit the Blind Pigs down there, punk rock band. Now, they capture the true essence of Globetrotter. Check it out.
Because sometimes you have that dilemma, like, okay, I'm from the third world, maybe. I'm not meant to do punk rock, you know, because we don't have rock and roll history in Brazil. Kind of ask ourselves, are we good? I mean, are we really making a good sound? I get mails, you know, from everywhere, from Indonesia. There's a guy there who wrote me. And he's like, please, give me your CD. I have no money to buy CDs here. There's no way of buying your records here. We know that Indonesia is even a poorer country than Brazil.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sending us the CD. It's great. We are huge fans of the Blind Pigs and everything. And then a few months later, man, we got these fucking patches from Indonesia. Blind Pigs patches.
I mean, reached the heart of this guy, you know? He's like really touched by our music. And that's what music's all about. I mean, you can reach someone who's on the other side of the world. I mean, you can't be any more successful than that.
Again, causing an international incident.
Uh-oh. Right,
with your classic morning time radio sound effects. That was the Blind Pigs all the way from Brazil on the Globetrotter section of this week's show.
Okay, funny boy. Do the song title with that crazy voice of yours.
Conformismo. Conformismo. A resistencia. And I'll tell you what, it's a political statement. Yeah, exactly. It means morning radio's coming back, even in Brazil.
Pure hate. Before that, from Verbal Abuse.
Verbal Abuse, a San Francisco original. You got to give them credit. By way of Texas, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It all ties in.
Nikki Sicky right there. Now, Nikki Sicky, of course, hanging out with our upcoming guest, Sammy Town. Good buddies from way back.
And you know what?
I both think
the world is
narcotics
safer when the
business.
Two of them are kind of tucked away. You know what I'm saying?
Behind bars.
Exactly. No. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Verbal Abuse is beautiful. But before that, we heard another San Francisco by way of Texas band. I love the way that you tied this in, Mike Routier.
It's like a package.
Couch Slouch by DRI, the original crossover band. Mm-hmm. They crossed over, Mike. It wasn't just punk. It wasn't just metal. It was lots of dope.
It was punk, metal, and crossing and everything.
Yeah.
You know, they used to hang out here at the Vats, empty brewery here, and they would squat out here in San Fantastic, and they would do dope and set things on fire and...
Those were the days.
Make
Mike.
Up punk songs, Blag.
There you go. Well, Verbal Abuse, you know, DRI.
Look out, Blag!
A Radio Like You Want world premiere exclusive.
Virginia. Like most other girls, she had a mother who loved her dearly and a life that should have been full of promise. But somewhere it went tragically wrong for Dixie.
I'd met Dixie in Roanoke, Virginia, and she started dealing acid for me. And she'd done really well. She really had an aptitude for dealing. She was smart. She was cute. I'd gotten to the point where I couldn't leave town because I had so many, you know, there was like all these deals. Most of the acid I dealt was all mail order. You know, every once in a while I had this one customer, Dana from Texas, and he'd come in. Well, actually, he was my best customer, my biggest customer. He was a regular. Once or twice a month, he'd come in and get like 20, 30,000 hits. I couldn't leave town, so I moved Dixie to Oakland to take care of business for me while I was out of town. I came back a couple days early because Dana was coming into town and she needed, you know, she couldn't get as much as she needed, so I came back early. And so I'm opening the door, and I could see my bedroom door, and I see Dana coming out of my bedroom, pulling his boxer shorts up, and I fucking lost it.
Just before she left, her mother begged her not to leave, saying she had this terrible feeling that she would never see her daughter again. 5 months to the day after Dixie moved, that terrible feeling became a horrible reality.
Yeah. When I finally saw Sam, it was, you know, it was just after he had strangled his girlfriend, and he was on the lam then.
Caught a cab from Richmond to Sacramento, took a plane from Sacramento to Baltimore, got a car from Baltimore to New York. I went to Wisconsin, I started running out of money, had to go back to California to flip some more acid to keep running. And the whole time I'm still strung out, and this chick I knew, Amy, she was a sometimes hooker, and she'd moved up to Anchorage and actually gotten clean up there.
Sam unfortunately went north instead of south and got caught on the Canadian border.
When the sirens are for you, I see the lights are flashing, red and blue. Feel the shackles on my wrist. I can't believe my life has come to this. When the dark night, I see no black, I see no white, only the colors red and blue. So it's life I live in too. There ain't no sanctuary, you know, wolf in it, cemetery, stand up to me.
Respect for the artist, which geez, come
the
on.
Disciples, red, white, and blue. Mike.
Sammy Towns band right there, post-Fang action, pre-posts in the middle of Fang, I guess you would call
I'm
it.
Not just Fang, I'm also the Disciples too.
Red, white, and blue right there. That one's off their Redemption release from 2009. Public Image Limited with Death Disco before that, or some call it Swan Lake, depends who you are.
Only you could get away with playing that, Mike, because I don't think I would have the nuts to play Public Image Limited.
That's why I didn't even think you had nuts, period.
But here you stand up and play that fucking shit on my show.
No, show. Hey, you're lucky I gave you a break in this biz, Blag. Well, don't start biting the hand.
That's
here.
A whole different story. Before that, of course, we heard off some actual punk rock music, King Kong Brigade.
That's a world premiere exclusive. Play.
Somehow Off has managed to be old and new again, Mike. They've resuscitated the spirit of ancient punk rock, plugged it into modern marketing, and created a juggernaut.
That just keeps rolling along. That's going to come off of their first full length called, get this, Blag, Off. It's going to be released here in a couple of months or so. So be looking for that one. Now we heard some clips in there from a short film called Welcome to Sammy Town, where Sammy covers his checkered past, and you picked up some ditties in this interview as well. You did a great job. Let's hear one of the classic Fang tracks and get into this on Radio
Like You Want.
I'm going to money will roll on. It's fun to be a star. It's nice to have a car. Yeah, you'll have to admit that I'll be rich as shit. And I'll just sit and grin. The money will roll right in. The money.
All right, that was Fang with The Money Will Roll Right In from the classic Land Shark LP. And I have with me, live in the car.
In the deepest parts of Oakland.
I guess in Britain, you're known as Sammyton. But here, Sammy Town, the founder, the owner, and operator of Fang. Sammy, welcome to Radio Like You Want.
Well, thanks for bringing me out to your car in the middle of Oakland. I feel like we're waiting for somebody to like bring us some dope, you know.
Let's hope so.
It'll happen if we sit here long enough. It'll definitely happen.
Well, now your problems with dope are well documented. I know they're behind you, but on this show, we like to drag people through the misery of the past every once in a while because, you know, we're old people. Well, now this is part of the Fang saga that I think some people don't know, because you were a well-known dope fiend, and that caused you to do some of your more celebrated acts, but really acid, weird trippiness. You were always part of that. Who was the band? Tales of Terror. That whole
Tales
group
of
folks that would sort of trip all the time and were kind of freaky. What was the difference between the trippers and the dopers in terms of the music they made?
Well, I was the one who was supplying them with the acid. So
you were the big time drug dealer.
I was the acid dealer, and then I would spend all the money on heroin. You know, so that's pretty much.
They say don't get high on your own supply.
Right? You know what I mean? I would take my fair share of acid, but you know, if I just keep shooting enough heroin, then I could just maintain. You know.
Did you buy the acid from like the Grateful Dead family of acid sellers and that?
Yeah,
kind of stuff?
I was definitely involved in the Northern California acid family as a very young man.
What was the Sammy upbringing like? Where did it take place? It was here in the East Bay. What pushed you into this life of crime?
You know, a lot of the punk rockers in the East Bay, we were university brats. My dad taught at UC Berkeley, and my mother's a paranoid psychotic. So it was sort of like this balance of like a really smart guy and a really crazy broad, you know, and so that's kind of what...
And is that what you're continuing today? We have your girlfriend here in the...
No, it's the really smart broad and the really crazy guy.
Okay.
We just switched it up.
Okay, it's the converse.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So that was the upbringing, and so you just started running wild because of the era? Was the acid just so plentiful?
Well, everything, yeah. I mean, it was I tell the story. I was actually a Boy Scout, and I was the only white kid in an all-Boy Scout troop in the East Bay. And
all black Boy Scout troop.
Yeah, all white kid in the all black, yeah, mm-hmm. What you said. And like Huey Newton's nephew was in our Boy Scout troop.
Wow.
And our scoutmaster was a pot dealer. And so he had us selling weed to do for our camping trips. It's like, you guys want to go camping? Go sell some weed, you know?
Are you shitting me? Okay, only in Northern California.
And that would have been like 1977, yeah.
Okay.
I got the dope dealing merit badge from the Boy Scouts of America, you know? And yeah, it just started me off on a life. But it was crazy in the East Bay back then, you know? I mean, there was like marches and all the Vietnam War shit that was going on, the SLA. Parents were just like, oh, let the kids run amok, you know? And so we did, you know?
When the punk scene came along, did people think of it as a reaction to or just a continuation of the wild behavior? In other words, were you seeing it as like, okay, now we're gonna go off in a different direction? Or was it just like a continuation of what was rolling around, just the part of the scene that didn't stop?
It was a reaction to, you know, peace and love, you know? And I think that in the Reagan era, you know, in America, we all thought we were gonna die. You know, it's like all these hippies running around saying peace and love, and we're all gonna fucking die because some asshole's gonna push the button and nuke us all. So, you know, it's like live fast, die young, nihilism, you know, burn hippies, you know, all that.
Was there a violent undertone to the, because a lot of times with drug dealing, when people are moving big amounts of money around, you gotta kind of back it up with armed conflict and stuff. Now in Northern California, was that the scene, or were you able to kind of circumvent that for the most part?
There wasn't really in the punk rock scene, in the drug dealing scene, it definitely could go that way. I mean, the punk rock scene, I think that a lot of the violence really that was in the scene was towards the punk rockers. You know, like you'd walk down the street and you would get assaulted because of what you were, you know, physically assaulted because what you were wearing. You know, there was a lot of fights, but it was us against them, you know, us against the jocks and, you know, everybody else. But the kind of violence you're talking about, that took place about 8 blocks that way. And that was...
Downtown Oakland.
Yeah, and West Oakland. You know, we had a house down in West Oakland in the Lower Bottoms, and that was, you know, that neighborhood was off the hook. That was all about guns and drugs and insanity. That's not a shame, yeah, they're on the streets, yeah. It's so fucked up, you know. He has lost his way. Lost any mister, can't express change. He looked at me and I said, I got help to me. The American dream. The American dream. The American dream. The American dream. To pop him and then be too brave. It was just Washington's a rotten as a game. I'm standing there, said my ambassador. I look at him, he's all bloody terrible. The American dream. The American dream. The American dream. The American dream. The American dream.
back with Sammy from Fang. Sammy, back in the day, I know many people have badgered you about this, but you wound up getting in some shit. You spent some time in our penitentiary. Which one were you in? San Quentin?
I was in San Quentin for a while. Soledad, Solano, Vacaville.
So a guy who's self-identified as a punk, you're not calling yourself a punk once you cross the big iron gate, I assume. How, when you get in there, what happens? Or do people try to actively recruit you as part of a white power thing? How's it working in there?
When I went in, it wasn't that you were necessarily actively recruited. It was that you were tested immediately. You know, you went in, at least this was what it was like for a white kid to go in the prison system, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. You were tested to see if you would stand up for yourself, and you either took care of your business, or you were relegated to the scrap pile, and then your life, you know, would be a living hell.
So did you know when you went in there, okay, they're gonna come after me day one, and I just gotta fight and hope for the best here?
That's pretty much, I mean, I was in county jail for quite a while fighting my case, and there was an older convict that was going through at the same time, and he basically broke it down to me. He said, this is the way it's gonna be, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, and this is what you gotta do, you know? And so at least I had that knowledge when I got into prison.
You must have been scared to death, right?
I was like 24, weighed about 135 pounds. Yeah, I was pretty, and you know, it's like going into a level 4 prison at that time, because they didn't have level 5s yet. You know, it was definitely terrifying. You get pushed, you know, somebody tries to move on you, you stab them, then people leave you alone. You know, and then
so literally you had to get yourself a shiv from somewhere, and then you knew you were going to have to do that within days of getting in or within hours of getting in.
Break down
the first couple days for me.
I mean,
who came after you?
When I first went in, I was in San Quentin, and San Quentin was the reception area. But when I got to the yard in Soledad, then, you know, guy kept coming up to me.
White guy, black guy?
Big white guy saying, yeah, you know, he's like, I want you, like he wanted to fuck me. And so, you know, I could tell that it was like this was the defining moment.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, all right, look. I told him, I'm like, look, I'll blow you in the shower, but you can't tell anybody. Right.
He goes,
all right, cool. Right. So I had my cellie get a piece, you know, and I told the guy I had it wrapped in a towel. We went, you know, and so I told the guy, meet me in the shower, you know, at unlock. So I ran down there first, got there first and put the towel on the floor. Right. Guy comes into the shower. You know, and I kneel down like I'm gonna blow him, grab the knife, and I stabbed him.
Where did you stab him?
Stabbed him in the leg. You know, and that was enough. He knew at that point. He jumped back, and you know, and I was like, you know, like, do I need to keep going? And he wrapped his leg up and quickly walked out of the shower. And the irony about prison is, I tried to introduce punk rock to the yard in Soledad like a year or so later, and it started this whole like face off, and I should have been killed, but. That same guy who I'd stabbed, he had my back in that situation, you know, because...
He respected
you. Right, because that was like what you did, you know? It's like once I did that, then I was a reg, I was just, you know, I was part of the fellas.
But as far as that first guy went, would he have taken the fuck had it been offered? That was okay by him?
Fuck yeah. You know, had I, say I had submitted, you know, then, you know, just like I've seen other guys in there, then they're just, they become... You know, like sex slaves, and just passed around and raped on a regular basis. All their shit gets taken, and it's a.
What would have happened had you said to the guy from the beginning, "Fuck you, no way, you're out of your mind"? Then he would have known to come after you, and it would have been harder. Was that it?
Yeah. Well, he probably would have just. He was a big dude. He probably would have just smashed me right then and there. You know, and so at least I was just trying to buy some time, because I knew, like, you know, one on one, if I tried to like fight him. You know, he'd have fucking crushed me. Dude was huge.
Right, but if it's all about just proving that you've got the nuts to fight.
That might have worked, you know. You know, he would say something to me where there's other people around. And if we'd have, like, fought right there in front of the guards, then it could have been looked like if I'd have mouthed back at him and said, let's do this right, you know, like, fuck you.
Right.
You know, then they'd say, then that could be considered a punk move, because I'm, like, drawing attention to a situation in front of the cops.
I see.
You know. My cellie in Soledad, you know, when the dude first started sex playing me, you know, I came back to the house and I'm like, dude, what do you think I should do? And so we talked about it, and, you know, he hit me to a plan. He said, I'd get you a piece. And so I'm like, all right.
How did you know you could trust him and that he wouldn't just go and tell the other guy to score some points with that?
It's better for everybody for me to have done that. Everybody needs backup in there. So if I go and do that, then they know that they can trust me, that they know that, you know, if shit goes down, that I'm down for mine. I was going to be there for years, you know, and it was just like, you know, you just do what you got to do.
Well, we are glad that you made it out alive and that you're here with us. This is Sammy Town from Fang on Radio Like You Want. Studio again, no?
Yeah, yeah. This weekend we have a new CD we're recording. It'll probably come out on record too. It's called Here Come the Cops. It's because we love police so much, we just decided to do a whole record, you know, inspired by police and police action specifically.
Now, is this the same classic Fang lineup with Tom Flynn and the whole crew, or what is the who's in this version?
No, it's the band that's been playing with me now for a few years. Although Tom Flynn and I just started working on a side project. We went and recorded up in Grass Valley with Dave Chavez on bass and Jamie Dangerous on drums to do a side project. We don't have a name for it yet, but at the end, I think you're going to play some a song.
Well, now, Dave Chavez, just to introduce people, he was in a lot of San Francisco classic punk bands like Sick Pleasure, Code of Honor, Verbal Abuse. So you're pulling together the old folks to make some new shit. What's the stylistic difference in this new band?
Man, I couldn't even tell you.
Is it the same old shit, Sammy? It's definitely, are you gonna piss me off with this one?
No, it's definitely some weird shit. You know, it's like, I think people would probably think I'm still on acid, you know, but I'm not. I think it just stuck back in the 80s, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to crank this new tune, Lunchbox, and show the people what you, Flynn, and Chavez have been up to on Radio Like You Want. We'll be right back.
shut up in a dungeon.
It's the
wow.
Churchill's bike. We will fuck them on the beaches. We will fuck them on the sands. Sammy Town returns with a cast of cohorts.
Now, talk. This is like off all over again, and they've got another punk rock
super group. Yeah, it's like the San Francisco version of it, I guess, because you got Dave Chavez, who played in Code of Honor, Sick Pleasure, mm-hmm. bunch of other great Bay Area hardcore original bands, and you also have Tom Flynn, who played guitar in Fang originally and was sort of the musical anchor, if you will.
No, I will,
of
too.
Of that organization.
You know I will.
I love the way we take this so seriously, Mike. You know, if we take it seriously, they
other people
take it
might
seriously.
Consider it. I doubt it, but at least we tried. Now, you did a fantastic job right there. You and Sammy Town hanging out in your car, just talking prison. I mean,
I'll tell you what, that guy will just kill you with his conversation. It was far out, Mike.
It's hardcore, though. It's kind of weird talking to Sammy Town because he is, as we mentioned, a really nice guy. And he's a funny guy to hang out with. But, I mean, you know, his life story is hardcore, man.
Yeah.
That's the real deal.
And if you're going to talk to him, you got to kind of go over it. You can't skim around it. I think he respects it more.
But he doesn't shy away from it.
Talk about it if you're in an interview, you know.
So a lot of respect for that guy. And, you know, you just got to like Sammy Town, man.
The music that he made. So what else did we do? Who else did we listen to? Nobody, nothing.
Well, we listened to Sammy Town stuff. It was
Sammy
the interview.
Insane.
You know, we do.
Well, but don't we have to say the names of all the songs, or did we already? God, we covered.
All right, ready? We heard Churchill's with Lunchbox. That's a new thing. Disciples before that, Bring It On from the Redemption CD. Before that, Fang, American Dream from American Nightmare back in 1993. Fun with Acid, that's a classic one. Not So Quiet on the Western Front from 82. And we started off with their big hit, The Money Will Roll Right In. All right, you happy now, Mike?
Well done, Mike. You should go into broadcasting or something like that.
I don't know.
Sammy Town,
gosh,
he
know.
Talks a bunch of shit, and we got it right here on Radio Like You Want. Now it's time to sail
away with Uncle Kanye on Radio
Like You Want. If you want to hang out, you got to take her out, cocaine. If you want to get down on the ground, cocaine.
All right, cocaine right there by the Jack. What the? Oh my God, crusty curmudgeon. What the hell are you?
The
noise. How'd you get in here?
This is ludicrous, Mike. You're torturing me with this noise and the
crusty,
screaming.
I'm sorry, but you know, we had Sammy Town on this show, and you know, it's all about drugs and this and that. I mean, cocaine.
You know, back in my day, we went a little crazy. I used to sniff this stuff with a negress prostitute named Sadie May. Someday I should tell you the story of this, Mike, because it's fascinating.
Early one morning while making my rounds, took a shot of cocaine and shot my woman down. Went right home and I went to bed and stuck that loving 44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun, took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laying in a hop joint, smoking a pill, in walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown, you're the dirty half that shot your woman down. Yes, oh yes, my name is Willie Lee. If you've got a warrant, just read it to me. Shot her cold, cause she made me sore. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more. When I was arrested, I was dressed in black. Put me on a train and they brought me back. Had no friends to go my bail. They slapped my dried up carcass in that county jail. Early next morning, about a half past nine, I spied the sheriff coming down the line. Hocked and he coughed as he cleared his throat. He said, come on, you dirty half, into that district court. Into the courtroom my trial began, where I was paneled by 12 honest men. Just before the jury started out, I saw that little judge commence to look about. In about 5 minutes in walked a man, holding the verdict in his right hand. The verdict read in the first degree. I hollered, Lordy, Lordy, have mercy on me. The judge smiled as he picked up his pen. 99 years in the San Quentin pen. 99 years underneath that ground. I'll never forget the day I shot my woman down. Come all you hypes and listen unto me. Just lay off that whiskey and let that cocaine be.
Caressing side of Radio Like You On. Black, who's caressing us this week?
This is the Avengers, led by the very lovely Penelope. Rock and roll from San Francisco on Radio
Like You On!
We'll be right back. you know, it's impossible to make these goddamn transitions, man. You know what I mean? These fucking transitions. You try to come out of these up-tempo numbers, and then you got to go into a fucking death dedication. I mean, I don't know who thought. I want somebody to use his fucking brain not to come out of a number that is up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
I was just a do-si-doing over there, Blag.
I'll tell you what, it feels good. Another great one has passed, but he will never, ever be forgotten. Master of the banjo, Earl Scruggs.
Foggy Mountain Breakdown, that's probably his classic right there. Avengers before that, and Blag, that's up to date, and we are out of time.
Radio Like You Want is produced by Mike Routier and Blag the Ripper for Greedy Worldwide.
Download the podcast every Friday at radiolikeyouwant.com.
Call us up, request a track, scream and shout, talk shit, 415-315-9662.
Email us as well, interviews@radiolikeyouwant.com.
And we now salute punkradiocast.com, luver.com, and the entire Greedy Syndication Empire.
Big thanks to our guest this week, Sammy Town. Be looking for his new Church Hills release, but don't forget the Fang either.
Got to say, we got some upcoming sick ass shit.
Ooh, Spitting Cobras, Hunks and His Punks, Exene Cerveca, Electric Frankenstein, Blag, the list goes on and on and on and on.
Live from San Francisco, California, it's Radio Like You Want.
Oh my God.
Earl, did something go wrong with your banjo there? He got mad, I think. Went back, really, give it a working over there.
What are you so happy about, Meathead?
Greedy Worldwide.